add one other verse, First John 3:11. They're short verses, and I'm not really going to exegete any of these thoroughly. I just want to share some thoughts. It's more of a reflective sermon. I had a really hard time preparing for this week's message, really hard time, and for several reasons. One is that, and we'll read the text in a minute, but I did a lot of crying this week. I mean, I did. My heart was broken when we heard the news of Haiti, and I work at a Christian institution, so it's a blessing to work in a place where people are very much aware of what's going on and are sensitive to it, and there are memos and emails and notices that went on how we can contribute and help. And my heart did break for Haiti, and I did shed tears for those people who are suffering. But I cry for another reason this week. It's because a person that I was close to unexpectedly passed away. It was a person, her name was Ruth Vong. Pastor Jin knows her well. Pastor Jin actually worked with her before I did several years back when he was a student at Fuller. I think he was a production editor for our school paper. Ruth, actually, when I was coming back from ministry, I did full-time ministry for a while, and I was coming back to Fuller to go back, kind of take a break from ministry and just look for work. She kind of recruited me. I turned in my application to Fuller for several different positions, and she recruited me for this current position that I'm serving at as a director of the International Services Office. So she recruited me, hired me, and in my current position, I reported to her. She was sort of my immediate supervisor. And as a result, we spent a lot of time talking. We had regularly scheduled meetings, and I do not exaggerate when I say this. Our meetings went out hours on end at times, 2-3 hours, and I would literally, 90% of it would be non-work related. And we talked about life a lot. And she was a wonderful person, and she unexpectedly passed away on January 4th. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you that the whole Fuller community where I work is in terrible shock. And because I was working with her and was somewhat close to her, I was asked to be part of the planning committee for the memorial service that happened this past Wednesday. And, the impact a person had on life when the list for possible people to give tribute to is pages long. And you have to, we met like hours and hours just to whittle down the possible people who could give tribute because there's so many people she impacted. And Dr. Mao, the president of Fuller, mentioned how he had emails from literally all across the world. I know most of you don't know her, and it seems a little distant, but this was very much what kind of consumed my week. So I hope you bear with me a little bit. Well, the service was held this Wednesday, the memorial service, and there were hundreds of people that came. It rained, but we had people flying from Canada, from Seattle, from the East Coast. Hundreds of people I hadn't seen in many years came, and we gave tribute, and it was a wonderful, wonderful service, and it was very much a healing time. And then on this Saturday, she had her family memorial service, and Esther and I got a chance to attend, and we got to hear incredible stories. As I listened to over a dozen tributes, so I listened a lot this week. I just sat and listened. As I listened to countless people share stories about how Ruth had impacted their life, I came to realize that although I was one of the people on campus that supposedly knew her well because I worked directly with her, I really knew only a fraction of who she was and what she was involved in. And as I mentioned, Ruth and I had very meaningful conversations through the years, but there was just so much more to her that I wish I had gotten to know. And I know this is common when someone close to you passes away. You just wish you had spent more time with them and had gotten to know them. In Ruth's case, it really was, I sharply felt that. There's so much to her life that I wish I had a chance to ask and get to know. And I wept and I cried quite a bit because of that kind of wistful regret that I wish I had gotten to spend more time with her and got to know her a little bit more. But that wasn't the tributes and so forth weren't the only things I listened to this week. I listened actually quite a bit this week, more than other weeks, to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because I really felt the Holy Spirit speak through these tributes and testimonies. And as I listened to that voice of the Spirit speak to me through this time of grieving and people remembering and giving tribute, I found myself a bit transformed. I found myself, and it's not just my imagination. Actually, I wasn't even really thinking it, but my wife can attest to this. I was very much more patient this week. The words "I love you" to people close to me came out just naturally and in unexpected times. Traffic didn't bother me as much. Life slowed down. Other people got bigger. I got smaller in my own eyes. And life became a little more focused. And it was quite an amazing thing as we talk about transformation, because I experienced transformation this week by listening both to people and to the Holy Spirit's voice. And I want to talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit sort of spoke to me and share with you about transformation. And I want to encourage you and challenge you briefly from the Word of God. And you know, kind of build on Mike, the Holy Spirit must have been speaking a similar message, because there's a part about the brevity of life and how short life really is. So with that in mind, let's read the scriptures and then pray, and then see what the Holy Spirit would speak to us through God's word. Romans 12, and I'll actually read verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 19. It's a familiar passage to many of us. "My dear brothers," James 1, 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now I want to end with 1 John. That's in the back, latter part of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. "This is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Let's pray. Father, we ask that your Spirit would speak to us. And Lord, we know that when we listen to your voice, to the voice of that whisper, that sweet voice, that powerful voice, the voice that created the universe, when it speaks to our hearts and our spirits, we know that we are transformed. And Lord, we ask now that you would speak to us, that that this weekly miracle of somehow when we listen to your written word expounded and preached through a human voice, somehow it enters into our hearts as if coming from you. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that your Spirit would do what your Spirit alone can do through the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are a few things that I want to just point out to you. There's some of these observations and about life and from this past week and from the Word of God. Romans 12, 2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed." What that tells me is that we are easily influenced by outside forces. Okay, one of the realities that I want you and I to grasp going into this idea of transformation is that we are not God. God is, and some of you who have grown up in church and have ever done a Bible study about the attributes of God will know this word, immutable. Anyone heard that term in a church setting before, immutable? Okay? Anyone remember what immutable means? You could Google it up on your phone if you want, since it's on. Anyone know immutable? You guys remember what that term meant when it applied to God? Yeah, unchanging, right? As in, God is unchanging. God is self-defined. He is not influenced by outside forces. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchanging. We are not. We are easily influenced by outside forces. And we need to remember that. Because in transformation, it is important that we recognize how easily we can either conform or be transformed. Okay? I think Paul is reminding us that we can easily conform to the patterns of this world if we are not careful. That we can allow the outside influences of this world to shape us. We are like Play-Doh, not the philosopher, Play-Doh, D-O-H. I just sounded like I was saying Play-Doh, but Play-Doh. You know Play-Doh, right? Silly putty, Play-Doh. Anyways, we are like Play-Doh. We are like clay. And the Bible tells us much that we are like clay. And we are shaped. And the world can easily take our lives, which is like clay. That's better than Play-Doh. Which is like clay and shape it. If the world's pattern is round, it can easily shape us to fit that round shape. If the world turns square, it can easily influence us and shape us to become squares to fit that. And Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we are not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, change in another way. The spiritual disciplines, or just disciplines in life as it relates to our faith, are the means which God gives us, are sort of like the tools by which we can participate with God, okay? God is the one who shapes us. And I really need you guys to hear this. God is the one who shapes us. Absolutely. Believe this, okay? This is foundational to your faith, because if we don't have it grounded in the fact that God is the one that's shaping us, is transforming us, then we will become a religion of self-improvement and self-help and easily devolve into just bettering ourselves through the disciplines. God transforms us. God is shaping us. God molds us and sanctifies us and changes us to become more Christ-like. It is God at work. But God wants us to participate in His transforming work in our life. We are not passive participants. We are not just passive. We are active participants in God's transforming work. And the means by which we participate with God in the transforming work is known as the disciplines. It is through the disciplines. It is through prayer, meditation, studying the scripture, almsgiving or giving to those in need, celebration, fasting, the numerous ways in which Christians throughout history have strived to participate with God in the transformation of life. These are means, these are tools that God gives us to participate with Him in our transformation. They are not the goal. And this is sometimes have always been a struggle for us evangelicals growing up in our suburban Christian context, that we saw these prayers and reading the Bible as sort of the end in themselves, as if doing them made us right before God. But they are tools, they are means to an end. And so I really want you guys to fully understand how easily we are shaped and how important it is for us to participate with God in this transforming work. Just a little bit of a tangent. In terms of conforming to the patterns of this world, we're going to talk about goals a little bit, but do you know how subtle it is for us to adopt and be conformed to the patterns of this world? There are worldviews and values that the world sort of thrusts itself upon us, and we are influenced by it, and we are not even aware of it. And so part of this transforming work that God does in us is to recognize what it means to conform to the patterns of this world. What does it mean? What are the patterns of the world that God doesn't want us to conform to? Are you aware of them? Are you aware of the patterns that we are to avoid becoming like? Because if we are not aware, then we can easily become conformed to it without even realizing that we have conformed to it. But more importantly, what is it that God wants us to transform into? Okay? So the first point that I just want to remind you of is how we, like clay, are so easily influenced and shaped from things that are outside of us. And so if we are like clay and we are so easily influenced, I think in order for us to move forward, it is very important that we understand, and this is what Pastor Jin talked about a little bit last week, where he sort of differentiated between vision, intent, and method. We need to understand the vision of transformation. We need to understand what it is that God is trying to shape us into. Okay, you cannot participate with God in your own transformation and in the transformation of other people if you don't know what is God is trying to shape you into. It's like going aside Michelangelo as he is chiseling out a masterpiece from a solid piece of stone. You know, as he's carving out, you're sitting next to him saying, okay, I want to participate in this work, and you start chiseling, you know, at randomly. That's not going to work. You need to understand what it is that God is trying to transform us into so we can participate with him. And many of us don't have a clear idea or a goal of what it is that God's trying to do in our life. And when you don't have a clear goal, we don't sometimes understand what tools are needed. The spiritual disciplines, remember, are means, tools. Anyone a handyman like to fix things around the house? Or woman, I'm sorry, I absolutely know there are many women, including my wife, who are excellent at things around the house. Any men or women, or child, children, adults, anyone like, there's no one in this group that likes to fix things around the house? Really? Okay. I just don't like to participate by raising hands, is that it? Man. You know, when you fix things around the house, one of the most important things to get the job done right and well without frustration is having the right tools, okay? You speak to anyone, and they'll tell you having good quality and the right tools for the job makes a world of difference. You know, just recently, one of our laptops that we have went on the fritz, the left fan. There's two fans in this computer, and the left fan, the one that's right next to the graphics processor, went out, and it made this gargling noise as it went out. I mean, it's letting us know, I'm going, this is it for me. And it was like a, you know, like something just grinding, and it went out. And because of that, the computer started overheating. Well, I took it into the shop, and for whatever reasons, the cost and the delay, I decided to fix it myself. Now, I'm somewhat okay with this, okay? I actually was the tech support for about 40 or 50 computers in my early days, so I'm comfortable breaking the computers apart. And I actually started breaking the part, and at some point, before I started doing it, I didn't carefully read all the tools I needed, and I thought I did because I had a little set, but I needed a zero torque screw, and I didn't have one. And it's just, you don't know how frustrating it was, having it like almost like 60% disassembled and not having the right tool. That's what transformation is. It's not breaking down a computer. I just wanted to tell you the story, actually. I could have easily moved on, but I can't fix computers. No. But the frustration I had in not having the right tool was something I felt because I knew what my goal was. I needed to get in and replace the fan. Okay, I wasn't just breaking it down for the fun of hey, let's see what's in here. You know, and see if I can get this. You know, I wasn't like slapping it around, hoping that one of these days the thing would just kickstart by itself. I know what I needed to do. I know what tools I needed to have. And I went in with a clear understanding of what needed to be done. Many of us in this room don't have a clear understanding of what God wants to do in our lives, transformation. And therefore, prayer, scripture reading, fasting, meditation, service, all of these things become just an end in itself. It's meaningless because we don't understand how that smaller part of the tools fits into the bigger picture of God's transforming work, right? It's like looking at it's like someone who doesn't really know home repair looks at this is me, I don't know home repairs, so I don't even know what these machines are called, but looks at a fancy machine and looks at it and goes, oh, that's neat. What does it do? Just kind of playing with it. And it's like, oh, this is neat. And it's like taking a machine that's designed to do one thing and using it for something else because you don't really understand how the two connect. Fast? Why fast? What's fasting for? Scripture reading? Why? Why read the Bible? Why meditate? Why memorize? Why pray? Why pray in different, you know there are different types of prayers. There's contemplative prayer. There's intercessory prayer. There's the Korean 통성기도 prayer. For those of you who grew up in a Korean church, know what I'm talking about. Why do almsgiving or secret service, or why solitude or silence? They're tools. So what is the end? What is the goal? So that's what I want to talk about a little bit. What is the goal? And then this is where the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. And this is where 1 John 3:11 comes in. It says, let me tell you one of the goals that God has in transforming our life. He wants us to love one another. Okay? This is a goal worthy of a lifelong pursuit. One of the reasons that we do the spiritual disciplines, one of the reasons that we pray, that we read scriptures, that we fast and do all of these things, is that God can form in us a group of people that can genuinely love others as Christ loved us. This was by far the overwhelming testimony of people that shared at Ruth's memorial services. Is that she loved other people. You know, I know you guys don't know Ruth, except for Pastor Jim, but Ruth really, it's really hard to describe because she was like a saint in many ways. She was. She was like a mini Mother Teresa. In fact, our president called her the Mother Teresa Fuller. And she was extraordinary in a very ordinary way. You know this because the range of testimonies that came. And one of the testimony was from a guy who just got out of prison last year. He was 16 when he made a crucial mistake in his life and was arrested and was tried as an adult and sentenced to a lifetime prison. And Ruth always had this, Ruth was, one of her passions was, she had a passion to go to the central juvenile hall in LA and minister to the people there, minister to the students there. In fact, to show you the extent of her devotion and commitment to this, when she got married, she was working with her and both her future husband-to-be at the time was both involved in juvenile volunteer work. And had built many wonderful relationships with the juveniles there. And they knew that they weren't able to come to their wedding, so they actually took the wedding to them. And they had their wedding in the traditional Vietnamese garb and this beautiful ceremony. They had it in the juvenile center so that the juveniles whom they were ministering to could participate, to witness, and to celebrate with them. That's the kind of people they were. This one gentleman was given a life sentence, and Ruth had this passion. She was very against teens being tried as an adult in some ways, and so she was an advocate for them. And this man, Ruth shared how Ruth had just impacted her so much in terms of just being there through the difficult times, just holding his hand, praying with him, helping him through these difficult decisions of, you know, what kind of life sentences he had to choose as a 16-year-old. And then Ruth wrote regularly for the parole board to give them an insight into how this person had potential, that this person was precious and that they had value to society and that could be redeemed. And he talked about how he was given parole 17 years later, in part due to the letters that she had written, but through for political reasons, Governor Schwarzenegger had overturned the parole approval and how Ruth had written to the governor and pleaded for him not to overturn that, and he was released last year, and he came, and he shared, unexpectedly. He wasn't on the list, but he came, and that we had open mic sharing time, and he shared. There was another girl who shared that when Ruth was a teacher in third and fourth grade, she was third and fourth grade teacher, Ruth was going through a difficult time in her life. She was getting divorced in her first marriage, and it probably was a very difficult time for her, but how Ruth, even in that difficult time, had time to really reach out to her students. And she shared how, as a third grader, she had come from a little bit of a family that struggled financially, and it was a private school, and that she didn't have a lot of the luxuries and a lot of the nice things that other girls in her grade had. And back in those days, Hello Kitty stickers and Hello Kitty pencils and all those things were really big. And she, with a little bit of tears kind of remembering this, said, you know, to a nine-year-old, that can mean a lot. That matters a little, or that matters a bit to people, to little girls who are 9 years old, these Hello Kitty things. And she mentioned that without ever saying anything and just without ever mentioning it, she just always kind of put on a strong face of like it didn't really matter, everything was fine. How Ruth had one day just, it's out of the blue, on a rainy day, just came to her house. And she thought she was in trouble because why would a teacher be coming to her house? And she said Ruth had, wrapped these erasers and pencils and pens and pencil cases individually and had put it together for her to have. And you know, 20 years later, she's still impacted by that. She remembers that, and she was shaped by it. But these are just a few of the stories. There are literally hundreds of stories. When the L.A. riots hit, she was right in Ground Zero helping a neighbor clean up or going down to South Central to help clean up. She was always looking out for those who were on the margins. She loved other people. She loved them as they were. She was one of the least judgmental people you'll meet. She loved them as they were. She loved people, and she especially loved those people on the fringe and people that were different from her. She loved international students. She loved people from different cultures. She loved the Asian culture. Even recently, you know, right before she died, we were talking about how she was wanting to learn Korean. She was learning Korean, actually. She was up to level 3 because she wanted to connect with the Korean students on campus. And she loved them simply because of this, and I know this to be true. This is not a cliche, and I genuinely believe this was her motto that she lived by. She loved everyone, and she lived the way she lived because to her, everyone was a precious child of God, and she genuinely believed that. Now, Ruth wasn't perfect. She had her, you know, she had her own weaknesses and struggles, and by no means, was she perfect in every way. But she genuinely believed that everyone was a precious child of God, and she lived by this. She understood the goal of her life. The end goal that God was transforming her to was to be someone who loved others because they were precious to God. And everything she did, she was a great woman of prayer, scripture reading, meditation, helped her become who God wanted her to be, someone who loved people. Life is short. This is amazing. This is the third funeral. That's another thing. This is the third funeral that we've been to in the last few months. More funerals than weddings. I guess it just comes with the life stage. Life is short, folks. As Mike shared, it really is short. And here's the thing about life that we in our society, and we've, Pastor Jenna and others have talked about this a little bit, how our culture is really afraid of death. The thing about life is that all of us think that my life will continue because there's so much that I'm involved with. My children need me. My spouse needs me. My work needs me. I'm in a vibrant ministry, you know. God can't take me away because there's so much going on right now. I have a career to pursue. And if you're younger, perhaps relationships to experience. You're like, it could never be me in a way. And we, although, you know, in our heads, we know that we could be called at any time. Deep inside, we live as if, well, it's not my time yet. But when someone who was vibrant, like Ruth was, who was active in ministry, had adopted a 13-year-old Cambodian girl many years ago that she met at a mission trip to a refugee camp and fell in love with. And it's a miracle, and you got to hear this story, it's a miracle of how she found her again and adopted her. She had a loving daughter to take care of and a husband to take care of and a vibrant ministry for her where she was literally impacting hundreds of people all over the world, and yet the Lord took her. There's this notion that our life is somehow not in danger of ending at any moment. This reality that life really is a mist and a vapor is causes us, I think, to lose focus. Life is short. And the question is do you know the goal, the transforming person that God wants you to become or is in the process of making? And so for me, it was transformation on that. I realized that deep in my heart, that what I really wanted to do, inspired by recent weeks, is I want to love others. And you know, one of the things that Esther and I were feeling a little bit Saturday walking out, I was like, it's like going to, seriously, like Mother Teresa's funeral and feeling like, dang, you know, my life compared to that was just, you know, it's kind of, I wonder who was shared at my funeral. Will there be any moving testimony? If you think about these things, and it's embarrassing. And the Holy Spirit, though, spoke and never made us feel bad, or at least me. He just says, you know, everyone is different, and you got to love the way that I created you. And I understood that. Ruth was wired a certain way so she could be who she was, and I don't think God was asking us to be exactly like her. But all of us are given personalities and traits that are unique. Some of us who are more introverted, it's harder to engage people. Some of us who are extroverted, it's harder to be reflective. Some of us are type A, we're driven. We can't shut ourselves down. We're always pursuing. Some of us are laid back, not driven enough. And they're all different kinds of personalities. That's okay. God wants us to love in the way he created us. But nevertheless, this is a worthy goal to pursue, to love one another. And I came out this week saying, God, if I could have one goal in life, which I know that you are doing in my life, this is your hand in my life transforming me, chiseling me into this person that I want to participate through the disciplines, is this. I want to be someone that loves other people because they are precious to you. And if God, if that's your goal for me, then my disciplines, my prayer, fasting, all of these things are for the goal of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in that way. How about you? What are you pursuing? What is the goal? Who is God transforming you to be? What is the passion of your life? I just want to give you a couple of things just to end today's message with in terms of practical ways that we can grow in our love for one another. There are some individual disciplines like almsgiving. I don't know a better word for it, but it's giving to the poor without in secret. You know, those are individual disciplines that we could pursue, and I hope you do that. There's some corporate disciplines, however, that I want to just draw your attention to. I want to just draw just a few real quick. One is listening. And James 1:19 tells us that we ought to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We are not good listeners. And here's why listening in a corporate setting is so important to growing and learning to love one another. You're never going to be able to love someone that you don't know and that you don't really get involved with in the way that Christ wants us to. And you're never really going to know them until you sit and listen. It's amazing how our minds are always constantly consumed with what we have to say. And as Pastor Jim mentioned, you know, if I had dinner with, well, who was the people? I can't remember the exact people. Like, who were the people you picked, Jim? Remind me. Yeah, so C.S. Lewis, yeah, and some of these other great sayings, that how would it be if he had spent, you know, the whole evening talking? Well, you know, not only would it be a waste of the opportunity, you come out really not knowing anything more about the person as well. And I want to challenge us, and I've been trying to do this in my own kind of conversations with some of you. We need to listen, and we need to go more in depth. You know, we need to move away from the shallows of our conversations and into the depths of the conversation, into deeper, meaningful conversations. And I want you guys to create room for listening. Hospitality, right? Listen. Listen. Don't worry about what you need to say next. Don't worry about that witty reply or that interesting fact that you know that you can sort of say to enhance the conversation. Just listen. And when you listen, try to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you about that person so that you can really get to know that person. Listen because you genuinely want to know that person better. Secondly, is a discipline that not many of us really have grown up doing, and that is confession. This is hugely important if we are to grow as a community in loving one another. is that we need to learn to confess our sins to one another, because James tells us that this is the way in which we experience God's forgiveness. Now, listen to this. Confession. What is the purpose of confession? This is not a rhetorical question. I want to ask you, what is the purpose of confession? Anyone want to take a guess? The purpose of confession is forgiveness, right? That's the end. Remember, don't ever confuse the means and the end. The purpose of confession is forgiveness. God wants us to confess. Why? Because he knows what we're doing, and he wants us to admit it and kind of bash us over our head. He wants us to confess because he wants to forgive us and experience his forgiveness. Because when you experience forgiveness, it is liberating, it is uplifting, and is redeeming. And there is very little genuine forgiveness that we can experience without proper confession. And confessing to one another allows us to experience in more fully the forgiveness of God. One of the ways in which God has ordained that we experience God's forgiveness is through other people. And we are so dang proud of our image and our own sort of who we want to be that we can confess to God but not to others. And my friends, if we don't ever develop the habit of confessing our sins to one another, you're really never going to fully experience God's forgiveness and God's love. I promise you that. I can say it with full confidence because that's scriptural testimony. But if we are to grow as a community, we need to learn to confess to one another. And if we are to confess to one another, we need to create a safe environment, vulnerable, where we're not judged, where you are held accountable but loved. And that's the kind of person Ruth was, and that's the kind of person I think God wants to transform us to. And last, corporate discipline, is we need to pray for one another. Really, just spend time praying for one another. It's not the end. Praying for one another is not the end. Remember, it's the tool, it's the means, it's the discipline to get what? To love one another, the end. I know fellowship is awesome. I am a big fan of fellowship. I'm a big fan of eating together, and I've done that with hopefully all of you at some point. I love getting together, sharing and enjoying, but I think God's calling us to pray for one another more meaningfully. Just really spend time praying for each other, confessing to our sins, confessing our weaknesses, confessing our struggles, and receiving through prayer help and grace. These are real things. These are ways that God will transform us. Love one another is a worthy lifelong pursuit for us, and I think we should pursue it. And there can be other things. To know God more deeply is an awesome, is one of the transforming work that God is doing in our lives. But I want to remind you, we are being shaped. Do you know what you're being shaped into? And do you know the tools that God has given you to participate in that shaping? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for me personally, for Ruth's life and testimony, and how through her life you spoke to me, and how through your word you challenge us to really understand who and what kind of people you are transforming us into. Lord, the earthquake in Haiti and these large tragedies that happen once in a while, or the loss of a loved one that we knew closely, remind us that life is but a mist and a vapor. We are like grass that wither away quickly. Lord, help us to number our days aright. Help us to cherish and know what a goal of our life, a goal worthy of our life, what that is, and help us to pursue it wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We stand and receive the benediction.